Radio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Jess is a theology student, missionary, and lay member of Sydney's Immaculata community. After growing up in a practicing Catholic family in rural Victoria, she strayed away from the faith until an experience at World Youth Day Sydney in 2008 set her on a journey that would change her life forever. Listen as Jess shares her story of rediscovering her faith and building a life in Christ.
My name is Jess and I am 28 years old. I'm from a Catholic family raised in country Victoria. I'm the eldest of five children and I was raised by very loving and very faithful Catholic parents who took us to Mass every Sunday. But there wasn't a strong prayer life in our family home. And I suppose I always had a feeling that God was very distant. He seemed very far away. And it was as if I believed in a God that I could not feel. And I remember as a child or as a teenager thinking about holiness, thinking about a personal relationship with God, and having met some Protestants who were quite on fire in a born-again sort of way. I remember thinking to myself, well, I guess that's just for them. Like, that's not for me. That's not possible for everyone. And almost as if God didn't want that for me, sort of that I wasn't meant to be close to him. So he just existed and I existed, but we seemed to exist quite far apart. And university led to a lot of very secular and relativistic ideas. I began to believe, well, I guess there's no such thing as hell. And if it's true for me, it's true only for me, not for everyone else. And so I had this sort of idea in my mind somehow that Jesus was real and he had died for us, but it was like he ascended into heaven and said goodbye to his disciples and was then just absent from human history. So it was like, bye, try to be good, I'll see you at the second coming. And we were just all going to go to heaven and that was the end of the story. So I suppose in a faith life like that, prayer obviously was not part of my life, and going to Mass really stopped being part of my life. And I lived this way with this sort of very, very relativistic mentality for about 6 years until I was 24 and a half. And I heard about World Youth Day and I'd been in a sort of a very searching mode, and not actively searching, but just dabbling my toes in the waters of different faiths and religions. And I'd been reading a book about Buddhism and Quakerism, Buddhist Quaker Shepherd. And I was reading this book and World Youth Day came around and I was so opposed to the idea of going to World Youth Day. And yet at the same time, I felt a bit challenged because I was so open to these other spiritual possibilities. And yet I was so closed to the faith of my parents. And in a strange way, this openness to other things forced me in a strange way to be open to World Youth Day and to attending this event. So I went there. I went there proclaiming myself very much as someone who was anti the Pope and non-denominational and certainly not agreeing with church teachings. And yet I went with a desire to somehow be open to God. And I was very moved at World Youth Day by the expression of faith and joy by the young people there. I think that my ambivalence towards World Youth Day was really perhaps more from a sort of jealousy that I had, that these young people believed in the same God that I said I believed in. And yet I didn't have the freedom to tell other people about it or to dance in the street, you know, with joy and the joy of faith. But I was very touched by their witness, and yet still I really didn't feel anything, and I didn't personally have a strong desire to go deeper in my faith until the Thursday of World Youth Day. And it was at the second catechesis session where hundreds of young people were gathered in a basketball stadium, and there was a teaching by a bishop, and I don't think I was really paying any attention. And so my thoughts wandered and I noticed that there were confessions being heard up in the bleachers. And I hadn't been to confession for about 10 years because I didn't believe in sin, and so it didn't seem to make a lot of sense. And yet, for some reason, I suddenly had the desire to go to confession, just more out of curiosity, I think, than any sort of genuine desire for forgiveness or to be cleansed in some way. But I did go, and while I didn't really confess anything, it was sort of more of a conversation and a general encounter with this priest. It was a really lovely conversation. And he absolved me, and I walked away, and I just totally forgot about the conversation. It was as if immediately it hadn't happened, because I was just so distracted by clothes and thinking about what I was going to eat for lunch and, you know, all these different just random thoughts. And I sat down and Mass began, and I still was not engaged. I even sent a text message at one point during Mass. And then when it was time for communion, I went down to receive the Eucharist, and I went the way I always went, which was not praying or not thinking, just going through the motions. And after receiving the Eucharist, I walked back to my seat in the bleachers, and it was at this point that I had an experience unlike anything that had happened to me in my life, and that was really an encounter, I believe, with the Holy Spirit. And I started to shake physically, and a deep sorrow overwhelmed me, and an interior voice, which was not mine, said, "How could you do these things when I have loved you so much?" And for the first time, God was not far away, but was very, very close to me. And this sorrow that I felt was, in fact, his sorrow. I remember at the time thinking that it was all of his sorrow upon the cross, but I understand now that it could have only been the smallest part of it, but it was so overwhelming to me. And in fact, some time later, when I would hear the words that Christ spoke to Margaret Mary in the apparitions of the Sacred Heart, "Behold the heart that has loved so much for such little love in return," I would recall those words that I encountered at World Youth Day. "How could you do these things when I have loved you so much?" And this encounter with God, suddenly so close, and so, he was so personally invested in me and in my heart and my actions and my life, was extremely overwhelming. And I actually went the very next day, I went back to confession to a different priest just in the same place. And I said, "I wasn't sorry yesterday, but I am now, and I want to change." And there was, you know, all this emotion there, but I didn't really have any groundwork to change. I certainly didn't have any support. I didn't know anyone who was strong in the faith. And so while I tried a couple of times after that to pray, nothing really came of it. But that experience left me with the desire to know more and to go deeper. And I was somehow told about a one-month retreat happening at the end of that year, the end of 2008. It was called the Youth Leaders Formation Course, and it was taking place in Sydney. And so even though I was still not practicing and still had all these issues with the church, I somehow decided to go on a one-month retreat, which included daily Mass, an hour of daily adoration, the rosary, and formation in the Catholic faith. And the weekend before I went, I came up to Sydney, and I went out with some friends, and one of them asked me why I was doing this, because it seemed to them all so out of character. And my response was, "I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even raise my kids as Catholic." And so reflecting on that, I can really see that I can't thank anyone but the Holy Spirit for leading me to those 4 weeks and to that course. And once I arrived there, it really was just an experience of God's love, having encountered the pain of Christ upon the cross at World Youth Day. In those 4 weeks, I really encountered the love of God. And it began with a genuine confession. I was just so moved by the witness of my my fellow participants and their faith and the faith of the leaders, that I really had a desire to make a good confession. And having done this on the second day, I did feel a great freedom. I felt such a healing to give over all those things that I'd been carrying for many years to the Lord. And that evening, we had a teaching by the now deceased Bishop Joe Grech. And he spoke to us, and his very first words were quoting St. Paul from the letter to Ephesians, when St. Paul writes, "Thus he chose us before the world was made to be holy and faultless before him in love, marking us out as adopted sons in Jesus Christ." And in all those years of confused ideas and of being very lost and of really feeling as if there was no truth, I had never understood in all my life why God had created us. I'd often thought, well, maybe we're guinea pigs, or it's an experiment, or he was bored one day. But suddenly, when Bishop Joe said those words, "Thus he chose us before the world was made to be holy and faultless before him in love," I understood in an instant that I had been made out of love, because God had loved me and wanted to spend all eternity with me. And I wept for an hour and a half through that entire talk. It was extremely overwhelming and extremely healing, like a great cleansing. And it was 4 weeks that really changed my life. I said at the end that I was concerned that some people would think I'd been brainwashed, but to be honest, it was like I'd actually had my brain cleaned. I'd had it cleansed and my heart cleansed and renewed. And I think that at the centre of those 4 weeks was the Eucharist, was the daily Mass, and that hour every morning spent in adoration. I really think it is one of the most extraordinary graces that the Lord chose to put me at his feet, to put all of us, the group of us that studied together, at his feet for that hour every morning, and just to look at him and have him look at us, and to spend that time physically with the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it gave me such an experience of his presence and a desire to remain with him in prayer and in love and in life from then on. So I was extremely fortunate, but I really needed that, because my life had been so far from the Lord, and I needed a Catholic boot camp, really. And I was really aware of that in finishing the course, that things had changed in an extraordinary way, and that I'm living, like all of us, in a world that is extremely hostile to the love of God, in a world where there is a lot of brokenness and where we do not know our own worth and our value and the love of Christ revealed in the gospel. And so I did have that experience of needing a Catholic boot camp, a Catholic rehab, if you will, which we could term formation. And so in completing that 1 month, I then entered a time of formation to learn more about how to live my life as a Christian and how to continue to walk with God. And so that was 4.5 years ago, and I really give thanks for what he's done, and give thanks for the grace, not only of conversion, but of that whole life, of baptism, of being called into his family, and that even in all those years of straying away from him, that he was just so patient and waited for that tiny little door to open when I first went to World Youth Day and then to that course, to reach out and touch my heart and reveal that love that has no end. So, praise God.
So, Jess, you spoke about a time of formation. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
I suppose that I realised that I didn't know how to pray in my normal life. I'd spent 1 month in this incredible community environment with the daily Mass and adoration and the rosary, and surrounded by other people who really wanted to pray and to live the gospel together. But I knew that back, you know, in the world, in my normal life, I didn't know how to live a prayer life and how to live a life with Christ. And I figured I should learn how to do that, and that I also really needed to have a very strong foundation if I was going to try to live a gospel life with the Lord. So I actually moved to Sydney and lived with some other lay people and also some religious sisters, not for the desire to be a religious or anything, but just more for the desire to live with other Christians and learn how to live that daily life. And then I actually went to Rome and did the Emmanuel School of Mission. So just more learning about the faith, but I think at the heart of that, learning how to pray and to live that every day, and how to put what Christ tells us in the Gospels into practice. So that was extremely important for me in order to be able to keep going deeper, and also to have that strength once I finished that time of formation, which all up was about 2 years. You know, when I then left that and went and got a job and rented an apartment and lived my, you know, in Talking Mark's normal life, I was able to live it more and more deeply with Christ because I'd been given that foundation of formation.
That was Jess sharing her journey of faith, formation and life in Christ. If you'd like to share what God has done in your life, we'd love to hear from you. Email cradiolimited@gmail.com. And for more talks, interviews and programs, head to cradio.org.au.
cradio.org.au